be in Leviticus this morning, Leviticus chapter 11. Hi, what we've been doing, for those of you all who have been with us, is we've been doing an overview of the Bible. Many Christians, especially on the issue we're looking at today, have a hard time putting everything together. Our view of marriage and our view of salvation, our view of the cross, our view of the atonement, our view of all of these things sometimes never mesh together. And so what we've been looking at as we began in Genesis, we've been looking at how every single thing in the whole Bible comes together. We looked the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the law of Moses, we've looked at the Old Covenant, we've looked at the purpose of the law, we looked at the priesthood, we looked at the tabernacle. Now we're going to be looking at what is called the cultic or ceremonial laws. The cultic and ceremonial laws are the laws that would relate to all of the washings, the purifications, the separation. If you touch a dead animal, you're unclean till sundown. Then you wash your clothes and wash your hands, and then you're clean. This would include the dietary restrictions on not eating pork, not eating shrimp, those type of things, not eating rabbits. This would include the clothing restrictions on how you could only wear garments of one fabric. You couldn't wear mixed fabrics. You couldn't wear cotton and polyester. Most dress shirts would not be acceptable in the Mosaic law. This includes the laws on sowing mixed seed in your field. You couldn't sow rye and barley together. You'd have to sow them separately. This includes all of those type of laws, the laws concerning tattoos, the laws concerning facial hair, all of those laws combined. And one of the things that has become very dangerous is Christians have become very biblically illiterate. We have no idea what the Bible says. We only know bits and pieces. And because of that, we have become open to many, many fallacies and attacks. And we have begun to abandon the Word of God because we are ignorant of the Word of God and what it actually teaches. For example, how many of y'all have ever heard the argument in favor of homosexuality that comes from the book of Leviticus? Okay, you say, Leviticus says homosexuality is an abomination. And they say, but Leviticus also says crawfish is an abomination. What's the difference? You eat pork. God says that's an abomination. What's the difference between eating bacon and being homosexual? And ignorant Christians go, and they have no idea what to answer. They don't. And so the answer, most people goes, well, I'm just a New Testament Christian, and I don't follow all that Old Testament stuff. And we've looked and seen how that's not true, how the Old Testament is part of the Word of God. So this is a very, very, very important issue for our day. Why do we follow the laws in the Old Testament concerning murder, concerning incest, concerning homosexuality? Why do we follow the laws concerning theft, but we don't follow the laws concerning pork, concerning wearing mixed fabrics? Why do we not follow those as believers in Jesus Christ? Why do we not follow the cultic, ceremonial, dietary laws? So we're going to begin Leviticus 11. We're not going to look at every single one of the laws. We're going to give you a framework for understanding. And as you read through the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you will get a better understanding of what the Word of God teaches concerning these issues. So Leviticus 11, he's just gone over a whole bunch of dietary laws, and this is what he says in verse 45. He says, I am the Lord that bring you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Why has he given all of these laws? Because he is God. He is Lord. He is the one who decides everything in your life. And he is the one who has delivered them out of slavery. He has brought them out of Egypt. So he says, in conclusion, you will therefore be holy. The word holy literally means other, separate, distinct, set apart. One of the best illustrations I've ever heard of holy is the idea of meeting an alien. Okay, it's something other. It's different. It's not like everything else. So when the angels speak of God, they call him what? Holy, holy, holy. Okay, we talked before about Hebrew. In Hebrew, they don't have holy, holier, and most holy. They just have holy, 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 holy. And that's the way it works. So what they're saying, that God is unlike anything we have ever seen or encountered. So if we are the people of God, we should be other. We should be holy. We should be different. We should be distinct from all the rest of the people. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 46. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moves in the water and every creature that creeps upon the earth. Why did God give all those laws? What is the answer? To make a difference between the unclean and the clean. Between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. What is the principle behind all of these cultic laws? It is to show a difference between the clean and the unclean. It is to show that God's people are holy and set apart to Him. They are other. They are different. They are not like the unclean Egyptians. They are not like the pagan Philistines. They are different. And this difference is going to, as you look through the Levitical law, encompasses every facet of their lives. From what they do throughout the week, to what they wear, to when they can work, to what holidays they observe, that even to this day, Jews follow a different calendar than the rest of the world. Why? Because they're supposed to be other. We as Christians are supposed to be other. We are supposed to be holy. We are supposed to be clean. Now, if you would turn to Mark 7, because we're going to see how Jesus looks at this law.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes.
What's the time period when Leviticus was written? What's the events that are going on? Is it when Moses wrote it?
Moses wrote it.
So is it when they're in Egypt, leaving Egypt?
While they are in the wilderness. Okay, this would be, he received these laws on Mount Sinai. You're talking within 6 months, 8 months out of leaving Egypt. So, Mark 7 in verse 14. Jesus is here going to give a true understanding of these dietary laws, these cultic laws, these ceremonial laws. The Pharisees are upset with Jesus because he doesn't honor their traditions of washing their hands. And notice what he says. When he had called all the people to him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him again concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without enter into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats." And he said, "That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to see the Apostle Paul picks up the same exact idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Notice what Paul says. "But meat commends us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." What does Jesus say? Jesus says it is not eating pork that sends you to hell. It's not eating shrimp. What is the problem? Is it the outside? No. What do we read even in the Old Testament? Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. What was the purpose of these cultic laws? To show a difference between God's people and other people. Now, the question then becomes, is the difference outside or is the difference inside? What is the difference between a clean person and an unclean person? Oh, whether they're wearing polyester and cotton or just cotton, right? The difference between a saved person and an unsaved person is what they put on their dinner plate, right? Now, what does Paul say? What we eat or what we don't eat doesn't make us holy. Okay, why? What is the issue? The issue is the heart. Salvation is not, as we've talked so many times before, salvation is not outside in. Salvation is inside out. Salvation is not where I follow an outward set of rules and eventually the outward set of rules change my heart. What is the issue? God changes my heart. And what happens when my heart is changed? What I begin to wear, what I begin to eat, what I begin to do, everything changes. You see, the Pharisees thought, I'm right with God. You know why I'm right with God? Because of what I do externally. And Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Why? On the outside, they looked great. Why? Because they didn't eat pork. Good for you. But on the inside, they were full of idolatry, sexual immorality, hatred. So what is the gospel? That Jesus Christ came to change your diet? No. Jesus Christ came to change your heart. Now we're going to see that this does not mean that we just rip out the book of Leviticus and move on. There's a very real purpose for every single one of those laws. But we want to see from the very beginning that Jesus is teaching that it is not wearing mixed fabrics that sends you to hell. That's not the purpose of that law. It is not eating shrimp that sends you to hell. That's not the purpose of that law. That law has a different purpose. What do we see the purpose of the law was? Was the Ten Commandments a ladder to heaven? No, the Ten Commandments was to show you that you were not right with God and you needed a Savior. So these cultic laws also have a purpose. And this purpose is not to make us holy. Why? Well, what did Paul tell us? We're not any better off if we eat, and we're not any better off if we don't eat. Keith.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You're talking about the clean and unclean categories from Leviticus. In this passage here in Corinthians 8:8, is that that's referring to food offered to idols, not necessarily
yes.
clean or unclean. Is that correct? Or is that
it's referring specifically to meat. Offered to idols.
So could that be clean meat, like from a cow?
Well, in 1 Corinthians, we're going to get to it in just a little bit.
Okay.
But the context here is there is a big debate in Corinth. And the debate is, can you eat meat that has been sacrificed to an idol? That is the debate. And we'll look at this in a little bit more detail in just a moment. But the context here, it's a very good question, because I'll make sure we get the context of it. So the argument that is being made is this. A steak is a steak. Does the steak become demon-possessed when it's sacrificed to an idol? No. Does the demon that possesses the steak now become inside you and you become demon-possessed for eating the steak? No. At the end, his conclusion is going to be that we don't eat meat sacrificed to idols because it causes our brother to offend. However, if you go to the market and you go down to Hitchcock's and you buy a steak and you find out after you've eaten the steak that the guy who killed the steak and butchered it for you butchered it to some idol, it does not mean you're going to hell. It's just a piece of meat. However, if we know that it's meat sacrificed to an idol, this is Paul's conclusion, we should not partake of it. Why? Because it'll send us to hell? No. But because it shows a participation in that idolatry. So Paul here is showing that the issue is not the food. The issue is the heart. The issue is not the piece of meat. You can eat a piece of meat that you get from the butcher down at Publix. And that butcher, as he killed the cow, may have been sacrificing it to Allah, but that doesn't make you a Muslim. Okay, you ate it in ignorance. It's not going to affect your soul. However, if you saw him say, you know, Allah Akbar and kill the cow, I wouldn't eat it. Okay? That's the context here. But the issue that he's showing here in this passage is that the meat itself cannot make you holy or unholy. Okay? Being sacrificed to idols is the issue. The food itself is not the issue. So in other words, a carrot is completely good according to Levitical law. If the carrot was sacrificed to Buddha, I wouldn't eat it. Why? Because the carrot's going to send me to hell? No. Because of the issue of idolatry, the issue of paganism. So we want to look at the issue here with Jesus is not the food itself. The issue is the heart of the person eating it. That is the issue at hand. Now in Acts 10, we're going to see another passage of scripture relating to this. And this is a vision that Peter has. Acts 10, beginning in verse 9. Acts 10, beginning in verse 9. Okay, a man named Cornelius, who is not a Jew. Okay, remember, what do we look at Leviticus? There's a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are clean, the Gentiles are unclean. This is the way that it's always been. The only way you can be right with God is to be a Jew. If you're not a Jew, there's no hope for you. That's the way it has always been until the coming of Christ. If you wanted to get right with God, Rahab, how do you get right with God? You become a Jew. That's the way it works. So Cornelius, who is not a Jew, has a vision, saying that he needs to send and ask for a man named Peter to come to him. He sends these men. As they're coming, this is what happens. On the morrow, as they, these are those sent by Cornelius, went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Peter's praying, has a vision. He's hungry. He saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Okay? Peter has a vision. And in this vision, coming down from heaven is every animal that is unclean in the book of Leviticus. Animals that Peter has never eaten. Okay, for you and I, a friend of mine's a missionary. He'll be here in a couple weeks to share. He's a missionary in a Muslim country. And he talked about how every time he comes to America, what he wants to eat is pork. Because they don't have it in Muslim countries. Okay, Peter does not know how good bacon tastes. So when he sees a pig, it has no appeal to him because he's never eaten bacon. Okay, but here comes this sheet. And it's filled with pigs and rabbits and shrimp. And all of these oysters and all the things that he's never eaten before. So he doesn't know how great bacon tastes. He doesn't know how great oysters are or shrimp or whatever you like that's unclean according to Levitical law. And God speaks to heaven and says, "Peter, I want you to get up and kill that pig and make you some bacon." And Peter's response, "No." And notice what he says, "Not so, Lord." He knows who's talking to him. He tells God, "No." "No, God." Maybe, God, you misunderstood. You know, you did right. We're not supposed to eat this stuff. This stuff's unclean. He says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." What happens to Peter if he eats pork? In Peter's mind, he goes to hell. What happens in Peter's mind if he eats shrimp? He goes to hell. He's not going to do that. He's not going to eat gator tail. Okay, because that's unclean. Okay, most of the food that they eat around here is unclean according to Levitical law. Okay, notice what he says next. The voice came to him the second time. Notice what he says. "What God has cleansed, call not common." If God has called it clean, you cannot call it unclean. This happens three times. Okay, now, is the issue here? Is the issue pork? No. It's the same thing when it comes to the Corinthians. Okay? The question that Keith asked. The issue there was not about pork. The issue there was about offering food to idols. Is the issue here gator tail? No. What is the issue here? Cornelius is a Gentile. He is unclean. Jews don't speak to unclean people. Jews definitely do not go into the home of someone who's unclean. Why? Because it makes them unclean, unacceptable before God. And guess what happens after the third time? There's a knock on the door, and guess who's at Peter's door? Unclean Gentiles. What is God doing? God is teaching Peter that what is clean and what is unclean is not based upon circumcision. It's not based upon genealogy. It's not based upon diet. It's not based upon the fabric your material is made out of. What is clean and what is unclean? In God's sight, it is the heart. That is the issue. Okay? So let's read on, and let's notice in verse 28, what does he say? Peter gets the memo, and Peter says unto them, "You know how it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, are common to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man clean, common or unclean. Is someone unclean simply because they are not a Jew? No. Now here's the vice versa. Is someone clean in the eyes of God simply because they're a Jew? No. Is someone unclean in the eyes of God because they eat pork? No. Is someone clean in the eyes of God simply because they don't eat pork? No. Okay? The issue here is the soul of man. That is the issue. There is still going to be, as we're going to see, a dividing line between the clean and the unclean. But the clean and the unclean is no longer based upon, are you a Jew? What clothes are you wearing? What holidays do you observe? Diet? It's no longer based upon the externals. Because man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. It's going to be based on the internals. Now we're going to see that that does not mean we just rip out Leviticus. We're going to see that there still is a purpose to all of those laws. But now let's turn to Acts 15. Because the debate over the Mosaic law already took place. We don't have to get in the debate on the Old Testament anymore because they already had it in the first couple years of Christianity. In Acts 15, what has happened is this. Several Jews who have become Christians, they have accepted Gentiles becoming Christians so long as they are circumcised, they keep the Mosaic law, they keep the Mosaic diet, they keep the Mosaic beard style, they keep the Mosaic everything. Okay, so if you're going to become a Christian, you have to be circumcised, you have to change your diet, you have to change everything, you've got to change all of this, not necessarily in following Christ, but in following the Mosaic law. We're going to see how following Christ means you have to change everything. Okay, that's the whole point of Leviticus, is you do have to change everything. But that doesn't mean that you have this list of foods you can't eat and can't eat. A list of holidays that you have to observe. Notice what happens in Acts 15, verse 5. There rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Okay, this is the law of Moses. This would mean they have to be circumcised, they have to keep the Passover, they have to keep the Feast of Tabernacle, they can't eat pork, can't eat shrimp, can't eat rabbit, can't eat gator, can't eat all of these things, can't have mixed clothes. Okay? And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, several years ago, we just read in Acts 10, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. According to the Mosaic law, who's unclean? The Gentiles. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their diets. Doesn't say that, does it? Purifying their polyester and cotton clothes, purifying their calendar, purifying their hearts by changing their diet. No. By faith. How did the Gentiles become clean in the eyes of God? Through keeping the Mosaic law? No. Through Jesus Christ. What do we look at in the tabernacle? Was it through going through a little gate and offering an animal sacrifice and the high priest carrying the blood? Is that the way you're made right with God? No, that was only a picture. The tabernacle was a picture. The sacrificial system was a picture. The high priest was a picture. All of that was a picture of what? That the only way to be right with God was by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. Not through diet, not through clothing, not through calendar. The only way to be made right with God is by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. Now, notice what it says next. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved, even as they. Are they saved by not eating pork? No. Are they saved by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles? No. How are they saved? By grace, through Jesus Christ. How are the Gentiles saved? The exact same way. Then all the multitude gave silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they held their peace, James answered and said, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, this is Peter, has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them. Notice what it says, visit the Gentiles to do what? To take out of them a people for his name. What was the purpose of all the dietary laws? That God had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt that they might be his people and that they might be other, that they might be holy, that there might be a difference between the clean and the unclean. What does he say here? What did God do with the Gentiles? He left them in their paganism and let them go to heaven. No, he snatched them out to make them part of the people of God. Notice what it says next. Okay? And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this will I return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. In other words, God knew what he was doing when he wrote the Levitical law. God knew what he was doing when he called out Moses and the children of Israel. He knew all that he was doing. Okay? Wherefore my sentence is, and this is the conclusion of the New Testament church, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols. This goes back to what Keith asked. 1 Corinthians. Why were they to abstain from that meat? Because it was pork? No. Because it was sacrificed to idols. Thank you, Susan. Why were they to abstain from gator tail? Because it was sacrificed to an idol. Why were they to abstain even from beef? Why? Because it was sacrificed to an idol. The issue was not the food. The issue was the idol. And we see that again here in Acts 15. From fornication, that's sexual immorality. From things strangled, from blood. Okay, this would be pagan rituals. Okay, if you read in the Levitical law and you study, and not that I would advocate studying paganism, but if you study paganism and study the Levitical law, many of the weird laws that you read in Leviticus are not about the way Jews take them today. I did not know this. My neighbor is a Jew. He's passed away, but his family is still Jewish. And when his wife, who is not a Jew, first met him, she came to dinner and they had, you know, a pot roast or something like that. And his mother asked her, what would you like for dinner to drink? And she said, I'd have a glass of milk, please. And they went ballistic. Because what does it say in Leviticus? You shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. So that means if you drink milk with your pot roast, God hates you. But if you study, that's what they believe. Because of Levitical law. But if you study the idolaters of that time, one of the ways they would sacrifice animals is they would take the milk of a goat, they would take the baby goat, and they would boil it. It was not about if you drink milk and eat pot roast, God hates you. It was if you follow the pagans and they're eating of raw meat so they have blood running down their mouth, and they're boiling a goat in its mother's milk. The stepping on the threshold. Okay? That they were not allowed to step over the threshold. Okay, if you read that, it's in Leviticus. You aren't allowed to step over the threshold. That means every time you walk into your house, you have to step right on that metal bar at the bottom. Why? Well, what did the Philistines do? Part of their worship of Dagon is they would not step on the threshold. Why? It was a superstition. And he says, my people aren't supposed to be superstitious. My people don't follow the ways of the pagans. So the issue is not that if you walk into your house and accidentally step over the threshold, God hates you. Okay, it doesn't mean you have to step on it every time you walk in the house. Okay, what does it mean? That God's people are to be different from the pagans. We're to be different. So this is not a license now to engage in idolatry and sexual immorality and run around naked and do all of those things. This is not a license to sit there and just eat out of the sugar bowl until you weigh 400 pounds. This is not a license to just go eat bacon until you have a heart attack. This is not a license for any of that. But what it's showing here is that the gospel is not outside in. The gospel is inside out. God changes the heart of an individual, purifies them, and because of this purification, what happens? Their outside begins to change. We are called to come out from among them. Now, considering what we looked at in 1 Corinthians, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Okay? We're going to look at the issue here of the Levitical law in the context of meat sacrificed to idols. Okay, the context of the passage in 1 Corinthians 8 that we looked at was a debate over whether you could eat meat sacrificed to idols. What did Paul say? It's not the meat that's the issue. What is the issue? It is the idolatry. So here in 1 Corinthians 10, he's going to give us an understanding of the Levitical law. 1 Corinthians 10, he's going to speak here of the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Okay, that's what Wesley asked. That's the context of the Levitical law. What does he say in verse 6? Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, we should not desire evil things like they desired. You know what they desired there? You know what he's speaking of? They wanted meat. The phrase he's speaking of here is when they wanted meat and God sent them quail. Quail was a clean animal. But you know what the problem was? It wasn't that they wanted to eat clean animals. The problem was the attitude of the heart. They were not content with God's provision for them. They wanted meat. It was clean meat. But the heart was still not right. So what does he say? Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. Was the issue with the golden calf the fact that the people were eating and drinking? No. What was the issue? They were worshiping an idol with their eating and drinking. Notice what it says next. And rose up to play. That speaks of the sexual immorality that was going on. He said, neither let us commit fornication. That's the rose up to play, the sexual immorality. As some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the whom of the end of the world are come. What is the purpose of the Levitical law? That we should study it, because it is leaving us an example. What? Of the diet we should have? Of the calendar and holidays we should observe? No. That God's people are called to be separate and distinct from all the rest of the people. That includes how we worship God. We don't worship the way the pagans worship their God. Okay? We don't go over to Sri Lanka and go to a Buddhist temple and go, ooh, did you see the way the Buddhists sat when they prayed? We need to come back to our church and do that. No, we don't. We don't need to go and say, oh, the Muslims, they bow down to towards Mecca 5 times a day, and they have the call to prayer, and it's so beautiful. We need to install a tower on our church with the call to prayer. We just won't do it in whatever the language they speak in Arabic. We'll do it in Greek. No, we don't need their pagan ways in the worship of God. That has no place among the people of God. We're not going to follow in paganism. Notice what it says next in verse 16. Here is the issue at hand. The cup of blessing which we bless, he's speaking of the Lord's table, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. This was the issue. Was the issue the steak? No, the issue was it was sacrificed to devils. Notice what he says next. Not to God, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You know what he says? You can't eat steak. Oh, but steak's a clean animal and cows are clean. You can't eat a steak that's sacrificed to an idol and turn around and eat the Lord's Supper. Why? Because you are now engaging in the exact same thing that the children of Israel did in the worship of the golden calf. Was the issue with the children of Israel in the wilderness the fact that they were eating goat versus eating pork? No. The issue was they were doing it to an idol. So, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Can I eat steak? Yes. Can I eat pork? Yes. Can I eat shrimp? Yes. Do I eat shrimp? No, I don't like it. Okay. There's lots of things you can eat. Can you wear a shirt that is half polyester and half cotton? Yes. Can you go plant beans and peas in the same row in your garden? In Leviticus, no, but you can do that. Okay? But what does he say? All things edify not. The issue at hand is not the diet. The issue at hand is not the calendar. The issue at hand is God's people are to be distinct from pagans. So his conclusion in verse 31 is this. Whether therefore you eat or drink, make sure it's not pork. What is it? Whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Now, we're going to look at three more passages of Scripture, and then we'll draw some conclusions of this, and hopefully it'll all fit together, and we can make some sense of it. Romans 14, real quick. Romans 14, well, you don't have to turn there. You can look it up later. Romans 14, 17, notice what he says here. On the same issue of eating meat, he says this. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Being a Christian is not the diet you follow, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is being part of the kingdom of God? Being part of the kingdom of God is being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and bearing fruit of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Why do godly people want to be in the house of an idol eating a steak that was sacrificed to an idol? We don't have fellowship with that. Okay? Who cares if it's steak? Who cares if it's pork? It doesn't matter. The issue is idolatry. Okay? And what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believes with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And what is his conclusion? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be distinct. Be other. Be holy. Why? Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be a father unto you. You will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is the purpose of the Old Testament law? Specifically the cultic or ceremonial law. Is to show us that God's people are to be different. Now, let's talk specifics. Tattoos. Okay? Where do tattoos come from? They come from Jesus? They come from God? What was the exact commandment? You shall not make any marks on yourself for the dead. Why? That's what the pagans do. Pagans get a tattoo. R.I.P. Bill. We don't do that. Why? We're not pagans. We're different. We're distinct. Does that mean if you have a tattoo, you're going to hell? No. Many people have tattoos before they get saved. Okay? And the issue is not tattoos. The issue is paganism. The issue is completely, totally paganism. Okay? What about where it says, you shall not mar the corners of your beard? Okay? Make bald your forehead. We would look at this. Okay? And this may offend you, but this is just the truth. Okay? It is pagans that enlarge their earlobes. It is pagans that stick things in their nose. It is pagans that make their lips big. It is pagans that put all the rings on their neck so they have a really long neck. Okay? It is pagans that come up with all of the fashions and everything. And isn't it sad This is something my wife has told me numerous times. Isn't it sad that you can walk through Walmart and you can see a woman and say she's a Muslim? And you can see someone driving down the side of the road and say, oh, they're Amish. Yet you go to the beach and you can't tell the difference between the Christian and the pagan? That's the whole purpose of the Levitical law. Is that we're supposed to be different. And that difference is not, oh, we go to church on Sunday. No. That difference is to touch everything we eat, everything we drink, every moment we're awake, everything we wear, everything we do. That's to affect whether we have a beard or not, our hairstyles, everything. We do not, listen to me, this is very popular in very conservative Christian cultures. There are actually Christian colleges where men cannot have facial hair. You know why? Because they have adopted that Christianity is 1940s America. I'm here to tell you 1940s America is paganism. Christians aren't Americans. We're pilgrims and strangers. We do not choose our facial hair, our hairstyle, the clothes we wear, how we raise our children. We do not choose our diet based upon what is popular in our society today. We don't. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit because we are a separate and distinct people. You know what? If that means we look like the Amish, if God is happy, who cares what other people think? That's the issue. The issue is to show a difference between the clean and the unclean. If your heart has been changed, you know what will happen? The outside will change. Let me give an illustration, a couple words of application on this, and then open it up for questions. My grandmother, who loves the Lord, she's 90, almost 95. She was at a Methodist church back in, I guess, the 60s. I'm not very good with clothing styles. Back when, like, the really, 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 really short miniskirts were in style. A young lady came to church with a really, 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 really short miniskirt. And she got saved. As she walked out the back doors of the church, all the old ladies in the church jumped her and tore her apart because of her miniskirt. And she never came back. And this is what my grandma said. Was her skirt completely, totally inappropriate? Yes. But if she is truly born again, it'll change. It will change. You know what? If you love Jesus, your diet will change. It will. You know why? Because you're the temple of the living God. You know, we are not as Christians bound to keep the Mosaic law. However, you know what you'll find? The closer you follow Jesus, all of a sudden, all the laws in the Old Testament will begin to make more and more and more sense. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If you followed the Mosaic law, you know what happened? The exact same thing that happened to Daniel when he was offered the king's food. He said, I won't eat it. And what happened after 10 days? He looked different. You know what a doctor will tell you if you have high blood pressure and high cholesterol? They tell you to quit eating shrimp, quit eating pork, stop eating fried foods. You'd almost think that God told us that. Does that mean if you eat a piece of bacon, you're going to hell? No. But what does it mean? That means if you are a child of God, your calendar will change. Your clothing will change. Your diet will change. Everything about you will change. What does Scripture say? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. And what does it happen to a new creature? Old things pass away. New things take their place. Does that mean we go around and look at one of people's dinner plates? We have homecoming next week. Do we go and throw the person out who brings me a pot roast and just, oh, you brought pork? Oh. No. No. But what it means is we won't be a glutton. It means we'll be concerned about maintaining the temple of the living God, which is our body. It means we'll be concerned about modesty. And we will not be concerned about the thoughts of this world, because we will be a different, a distinct people that show forth the praises of God, that we are be a peculiar people. Yes, that makes us odd. Yes, it makes us weird. But that's what we're called to be, a peculiar people. All right. I know there's probably a lot of questions on this, but any questions on what we talked about today? Yes, Jesse.
What was the problem with wearing different materials with the clothes?
The difference, the specific application of that is that God's people were not to intermingle with pagans. And just as you would weave polyester and cotton together, so we are not to be unequally yoked. So a Christian should not marry a non-Christian. That's the application there, is that there is to be a clean, separate distinction between believers and unbelievers. Very good question. Any other questions or comments? All right. So, in conclusion, before we pray, what this means is this. Is homosexuality an abomination? Yes. Okay. Was pork considered an abomination? Yes. Does that mean we throw out the laws concerning homosexuality? No. God's people are not supposed to commit incest. God's people are not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. God's people are not supposed to engage in homosexuality. God's people are supposed to be separate and distinct. And that's what the whole Levitical law teaches us. The cultic law teaches us we're separate and distinct. All right. Bob, conclusive prayer.